May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Sometimes the people we think are lost are the ones who show us what it means to be found. I came face to face with the truth of this in a chance meeting during my recent trip to California. But before I tell you the story, let's think a moment about today's readings, how they shed light on the surprising and radical nature of God's forgiveness. In Exodus, we hear how God's wrath burns against his people. God, to put it simply, is angry. And he is angry because his people have made an idol to foreign gods. Now, this may seem a little thing to our ears, but in the Old Testament, the worship of foreign gods is equal to rejecting the God of Israel, the God who loves and redeems his people. And yet Moses implores God to remember his covenant, his unconditional promise of love and forgiveness. With great faith and courage, Moses pleads with God to forgive those whom he has redeemed. And remarkably, God listens to Moses and changes his mind. Putting aside his wrath, he forgives his people. And we see this again in St. Paul's letter to Timothy. Paul knew that Christ Jesus came to save sinners because he was one of them. He was a man driven by violence, a persecutor of the early church, and yet God forgave him. So Paul became an advocate of God's forgiveness, a messenger of the love of Christ. This was surprising for all who knew him, and further evidence that is often the people we think are lost, who show us what it means to be found. Now, I'm sure we can all recall a time when we have lost something important to us, our phone, our wallet, our keys. We search the house, the car, retrace our steps in desperation to find it. And this is just the picture Jesus is painting in his two parables this morning. A shepherd looks for his lost sheep, while a woman searches for her coin. But why does he tell these stories? What is the point? Luke tells us that tax collectors and sinners are coming to see Jesus, even sharing meals with him. And the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, are not happy. They, after all, are the respectable ones, the moral, upright leaders of the community. The sinners, by contrast, are those on the outside, the unacceptable people, prostitutes, homeless, thieves, etc. So not surprisingly, the religious leaders question Jesus, and he responds to them by telling them very pointed stories. Imagine yourself as a shepherd. Who among you would not leave the others in search of your lost sheep? And when he finds it, would be elated. And the second is similar. This time, the religious leaders are asked to imagine themselves as a woman. The woman searches high and low for her lost coin and is overcome with joy when she finds it. Now, these parables may seem like nice little stories to us, yet far from being nice, comforting stories, as Jesus told them, they are shocking, even insulting to the religious leaders that day. Jesus, after all, is asking them to identify themselves with a woman and with shepherds, people very low in social standing. It was actually common practice at the time for Pharisees to say a prayer each day, thanking God that they were not born a woman. But before we judge them too harshly, let's remember that they were good men, dedicated teachers of the law who served and loved God. Their mistake was to view themselves as superior, far greater than others. They forgot all about grace, that all heaven rejoices when the lost are found. Now, returning again to the story from my recent trip to California, towards the end of the trip, my husband and I spent a wonderful day in Santa Barbara, the place where we attended university, met, and were married. It was a day of recalling memories and visiting familiar places. In the evening, as we were on our way to dinner, Ivan noticed a man tucked away on the side of the pavement. He was standing next to a bicycle that he had converted into some type of shelter. And Ivan suggested that we stop and share a drink with this man. Now, the man was clearly homeless, and to be honest, I did not feel like stopping. I thought, I'm on holiday. The last thing I want to do is stop. I just want to go and enjoy dinner alone. But my guilt eventually won out, and I reluctantly went with Ivan to speak with the man. And I have to say, I'm glad I did. For in this little interaction, I glimpsed the presence of someone that for a moment brought me out of my selfishness. The man introduced himself as Harry, and he said he had been living on the streets in Santa Barbara for 21 years. He had a gentle, sweet manner that immediately broke down any barriers I had. Harry told us the story of his bicycle, that he built it to be a secure and stable home, and it was a remarkable bicycle. Harry had engineered every detail to work with the strict laws against outdoor sleeping in Santa Barbara. It was the perfect size and all he needed to live in relative comfort. At one point in the conversation, he said, "All we need in life is to live simply, and this is what I'm trying to do." And it struck me then how wrong my initial perceptions of Harry had been. He was not a lost person in need of help. He certainly did not need anything from me. I actually needed his help, his example of living simply in the complexity of our world. Now, as I read today's parables, I naturally identify with one who is already found, the 99 sheep or the 9 coins, safe and stable. And the lost? Well, I might think of people like Harry, those who are homeless, on the outskirts of society, those who seem in need of God's help. But meeting Harry challenged this idea. Towards the end of our time together, Harry told us how he had been saving up for a solar panel to power his radio and kettle. He said that he wanted to do all he could to help the environment and to help other people. Now, I was touched by this simple gesture because Harry, who lived each day in the reality of personal survival, was thinking beyond himself. For me, he brought to light the contrast between those who are lost and those who are found. Now, Southern California is not a place that encourages living simply. People are highly motivated towards success. There is little place for people like Harry. And yet, when we take the time to listen to people like him, we might be surprised. I didn't want to stop and speak to Harry that day, but because I did, I now understand a bit better about what it means to be found. And what does it mean? Well, to put it simply, it is to realize our need for forgiveness, for transformation, for new life in Christ. The overarching message of the Christian faith is that whoever we are and whatever we've done, we are welcomed by God. No more than this, God is actually looking for us. He simply wants to find us and welcome us home. So maybe it is time to stop our searching and let ourselves be found. Because when we are found by God, all of heaven rejoices. Amen.